Are you ready to go?
Well, most sermons and lessons are on the resurrection today, but we're going to talk about hellfire and damnation. Doom. Doom. No hope. All of that. Because that's where we are in the book of Ezekiel. We're going to talk about the devil. And look at his pitiful life. We ready to start? All right. Brother Floyd, it's good having you here today, brother. Would you mind leading us in prayer this morning? Would you mind? All right.
Father in heaven, we're thankful for the opportunity we have to come here today on this resurrection day of your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with us, Father, and help us to absorb what Jim is about to teach us. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, a little bit to begin with. We're going to talk about the resurrection for a few moments. Easter is and not a very good term for this time of year. Yet we think about Easter. But this is the whole, historically, this was the Feast of First Fruits. Now, what was the Feast of First Fruits? What was it? When you gave the very first of your crops. Now, what do you do when you take a seed and put it in the ground? Basically, the seed dies, doesn't it? If the seed's no more, it's not good for anything anymore. I mean, it goes in there, it begins to rot, it sprouts. So much like death, huh? All right. Now, the Feast of First Fruits, from the very beginning, talked about the resurrection. The Feast of First Fruits, when all the trees bloom. When all come back to life. In the wintertime, the trees go to sleep, and in the springtime, the trees wake up and they start blooming. All right? They wake up and start blooming. Well, the seeds, you plant seeds in the ground, you have one of the first trees to start blossoming is what? What's one of the first trees that blossom in the springtime? What's one of the first trees that blossom in the springtime? Almond. Now, let's think about the almond for a minute. The Feast of First Fruits. Here come the almond trees. The almond trees bloom until the spring is here. And the Lord said, in the end times, look like the almond tree is the first to bloom. The almond tree tells you that spring is coming. There are certain things that's going to happen that's going to tell us about the second coming of the Lord, aren't there? Like the almond tree. Now, the Feast of First Fruits is when they would take and they would give their first fruits. They would give the first fruits that ripened, they'd give them and then hope that God would provide the rest. That they wouldn't have a hailstorm or something in the midst of the time. You have the first fruits off of the trees, off of the grapes and everything else, off all the trees, all your vegetation, fruits and vegetables, all of them, you take your first fruits and give it to the Lord. And then hope that the locusts wouldn't come, that God would protect your crop and that you would have a good crop. But by faith you took it, didn't you? All right, by faith. I'll never forget, there was a story about a man out in the desert, out in Death Valley, I think, and there was a water well out there. And it had a bottle of water sitting by the water well. And it said, now to prime this pump, you have to take this lid off the pump and pour all this water. It takes every drop. Do not drink any of this water out of this bottle. You have to pour it in the well to prime the pump. And then you can have all the water, but please fill the bottle all the way to the top for the next person. Because the well would lose its prime. So they would do that. And it said, the note says, if you drink one drink out of this, you'll have no water. So by faith, they had to pour all of that in there, and then they could get all the water they wanted. First fruits, the Feast of First Fruits. Give the first fruits to the Lord, and then depend upon Him to have a good final harvest. The final harvest. And that's kind of like tithing, isn't it? All right? And the Lord of heaven, Adonai, Ha-Adonai-im, the Lord of heaven, the King of kings and Lord of lords, came to the humanity, clothed in humanity. He said he would in Genesis, the third chapter, in verse 15, he promised that the seed of the woman, Messiah would come through the seed of the woman. God, in eternity past, chose by the human race to redeem the whole world and the human race by becoming man and suffering and dying for our sins. And not only that, if Jesus only died for your sins, you couldn't be saved. Did you know that? If Jesus only died for you, you couldn't get to heaven. He had to be raised for your justification. He died for your sins, all right, but you're not justified until the resurrection. So without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. No salvation. Just think about that. No salvation without the resurrection. Now let's go back to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel. And let's look at a sad, sad story. Damned with no hope. Damned with no hope. Beyond repentance. That's the title of it. Beyond repentance. Damned with no hope of salvation. Apostate. All right?
Can't get saved.
Can't be saved. What do we call it? There's another term for it. To deny the faith. Marilyn, what does that mean? What's the term to deny? Marilyn, what's the term for to deny the faith? Remember that term? Rip? To deny the faith. To deny truth. What is it? Reprobate. To be reprobated. Reprobate. That means to be damned. You have denied the truth. Now let's go back and look in the Bible. Two books in the Bible tell about the history and the whole story of Satan's path. Isaiah 14:12-15 and Ezekiel 28. Look at Satan's path through time. Job 1 talks about Satan. Ephesians 2:2, all the way down through here. Ephesians 3:11 talks about God's eternal purpose. Revelation 12:7-10. And we see Satan in time. Then we see him in the bottomless pit. Revelation 27-9. Revelation 21-3. And then we see that he's going to be released out of the bottomless pit. But let's look and see what he was like. Okay? And see how many people relate to Lucifer. Lucifer, what does his name mean? What? Light carrier. Shining one. The light carrier. Lucifer was the light of the world when he served the Lord. The light of the world. And then he became darkness, didn't he? All right, Ezekiel 28. The word of the Lord came to me saying, O son of man, say to the leader of Tyre, thus saith the Lord God. And he talks about the leader of Tyre. And he also, it's a, what we call a duel prophecy. This is what was going to happen to the leader of Tyre. But this guy is doomed. He's damned. He's reprobated. Okay? He's reprobated. Why is he reprobated? Because he has denied the truth. Jesus, when he was walking around to the Sea of Galilee, what does Sea of Galilee, what's Galilee mean?
Circle.
He said it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you people that heard me directly and saw my face. They saw Jehovah in the flesh and they rejected him. And when they rejected him, they were reprobated. False religion. People get into false religion. And most false religions change the person of God, don't they? And they change especially the person of Jesus Christ. And when they get sucked into that, and when they're, and they become damned, reprobated. That's scary, isn't it? Scary. And you see people go to church and you see them hear the Word of God and they get under conviction and they walk out lost. The day that that person hears the Word of God and has conviction of the Spirit of God, they ought to run forward and ask God to forgive them. Because they, from when they walk out of that church that day, they may be reprobated. That may be the last time they'll ever have conviction and the drawing of the Spirit of God and be reprobated. Let's look at some reprobates, all right? Let's look at a reprobate, one reprobate, Lucifer. Lucifer, his name meant shining one or light carrier, and then it became, what were some of the other names of Satan? How many of you studied the lessons I did on the doctrines of the Bible with Satan in there? Huh? Beelzebub what?
Satan.
Satan, the one who opposes?
Diablos,
the old devil, the destroyer. All right, these are some of his names, but he wasn't created like that, was he? God created every man and gives every man a chance to be saved. He does. He gives every man a chance to be saved. And all of the angels and every spirit, you know, we see in the world and in the universe, people talk about aliens, don't they? People talk about aliens, don't they? Huh? Well, there are aliens out there. Do you know what? We have a message right here from an alien. Extraterrestrial medicine. A message. Extraterrestrial message. God lives out of space and time. He is alien to our, what we call, natural world. He is supernatural, isn't he? Spirits are supernatural, aren't they? That's beyond natural, beyond what we understand, what we can see with our eyes. Angels are Moloch. That's the term, Moloch. Say Moloch. Moloch. That angels. And word in Greek is what? We get our English word from it, angelos. Now they are supernatural, aren't they? And we're going to talk about a supernatural being right now. Now God created everything in this world with a will, a volition. And he did that with angels and spirits too. Now spirits and angels are different. Many people make spirits and angels the same, but they're not. Angels have form. And angels look like men. Angels sometimes, cherubim and seraphim, they kind of look like those angels over the Ark of the Covenant with wings. Some of them have wings. Alright? Now, when you die, you're not going to become an angel. Just forget that. Angels are angels, and you are human. You are human. Now, you're triune, you're a body, you are spirit, and you're soul. You're triune, you were created in God's image, like body, spirit, and soul. He has a body, the body of Jesus Christ. His soul is what? That's the Father. And his spirit is what? Skontaku, skonskon. That's the Lakota word. That means spirit. And Lakota, the word skontaku, skonskon, it means that which makes everything alive. In Hebrew, it's chaya, the living one. Go back to the book of Genesis real quick. I just want to share something. I shared this with Davis the other night, Brother David. Genesis, the 16th chapter. I want you to look at this. This is absolute. I was having a stroke the other day. You have wonderful revelations when I have strokes. I was having a hard time. Genesis, the 16th chapter. We have a poor slave girl here, the story of a slave girl that has no personal will. Everybody in the world ought to have a control of their destiny. They ought to, but they don't. This girl did. What was her name? Hagar. What does Hagar mean? Wanderer. She was a wanderer. All right? Now, she was a slave girl. She came out of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the what?
World.
The world. You know that God even wants to save us worldlings? What is a worldling? In the old days, preachers used to get up and preach against worldliness, and they called them worldlings. The bar flies and the the old bar flies and the bad women, you know, the Jezebels.
That's what they were told when we were growing up.
That's it.
Bar flies.
Yeah, and reprobates. Reprobates. Okay. So this God even loves them, you know. He wants to love them. He wants to save them. And this little girl, he saved. He saved this little girl. Her name was Hagar. Now, Sarai means what?
Princess. But it also means like...
Okay, now let's get back to the root of that term. Sarai means what? Contentious. Hostile. Contentious. She had chips on both shoulders. She was ready to fight at any moment. At the drop of a hat. And you can see that in her life. She was contentious. She was quarrelsome. In the middle of war all the time. That's what it means. Now see the word prince. He is a prince that has won victories. But when you change it to Sarai, it means a contentious, warring woman. Now let's see what this contentious, warring woman... First of all, she has a grudge against God. And she's mad at God because she can't get pregnant. And she said, God has a judgment against me. He's mad at me. You take my little girl here, you take this slave girl, and you go into her, and if she has a kid, it's mine. Now do it.
That's the first case of surrogate mother.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this is it. This is what happened. This poor girl, she has no... I mean, maybe she has this guy that she might have liked out there someplace, you know. She might have been in love somewhere or another. Women didn't even have that right back then, did you know that? Didn't have any rights. This poor girl didn't have any rights. Verse number 7, now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring. Now she gets run off, Sarah runs her off, gets and says, get out of my sight. And she's afraid of the face of her master, her mistress. Every time Sarah looks at her, she runs. Sarah's ready to bite her head off because now she got pregnant. Right off the bat, she gets pregnant with Abraham. So now it's not Abraham's fault. It's my fault. God did judge me. Now she's mad at God. And she's mad at Abraham. And she's mad at Hagar. Okay? She's mad at the world. Again. One more time. Okay? And Hagar, Sarah's maid. Now God, the Lord found her. The Lord, this is Jehovah right here. This is what we call an epiphany. This is what we call a theophany. God appeared to Hagar as Jesus' pre-incarnate form. He walks up there and starts talking to her. Jesus does. That's who it is. It's Jehovah. Jehovah means what? He who shall become. Now, the promise was that he was going to become flesh through the seed of a woman. But right here we have the pre-incarnate. Pre-incarnate before the act of becoming flesh, but he would become flesh in John 1:14. Now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water in the wilderness and by the spring on the way to Shur, and he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from? He wants to tell her, Hagar, Sarah's maid. Hagar, wanderer. The contentious one's maid. Where have you come from and where are you going? He said, I am fleeing from the face of my mistress Sarai, the contentious one. I am fleeing from her face. That word pene there means face. Every time she looked at her with disdain and hate. Growling. Sandy, what?
Standard female look.
Oh, is it? Sandy, oh boy, Bill. You better be glad Joanne's not here today. But the rest of these women are, you know. They can... might work you over before you get out of here. The angel of the Lord said to her... Now, the angel of the Lord here, the Malak here, is Jehovah. All right, this is Jehovah. He's called the angel of the Lord, but he is Jehovah. Okay? Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. Go back and take the beating. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants. God is giving her a promise, an unconditional promise. And I will greatly multiply your descendants, and they shall be too many for you to count. And the angel of the Lord said to her, further, behold, you are with child. Now, God's going to name this child. This is a divine name. This is a divinely appointed name. And you shall bear a son. What is the name for son in Hebrew? Come on, it's a very important name. Ben. That's right, Ben. Ben. The name Ben comes right out of that. All right? That's it, Ben. Now, that's very important because Ben means according to a pattern. Ben means according to a pattern. You have a child according to the pattern of the father. Okay? Just think about Jesus now. Who's his father? God. God brought himself into him. So his pattern is who? Patterned after God. Okay? His blood came from whom? God. It didn't come from Mary. It came from God. Alright? And you shall bear a son according to a pattern, and you shall call his name God Hears. Ishmael. God Hears. That's a good name, isn't it? God Hears. Because the Lord has given heed to your affliction, and he will be a wild donkey of a man. Anybody ever been around the wild herds of donkeys? They're rough, boy. They fight all the time. They're out there. They're fighting. What did that donkey do to you, Marilyn, when you came upon them wild herds of donkeys?
Looked like an alligator.
Looked like came at you with his mouth smiling. With them jaws wide open and smiling. Boy, I remember one time we went out there to herd cattle and we got in a bunch of wild donkeys. And boy, those jacks came at us. Ah! All you saw was mouth and heels. A wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone. That's the way they are. And everyone's hand will be against him. By the way, a wild donkey, a wild ass, that's what they're called. That's right, a wild ass. You heard about a wild ass person? That's what they're talking about. That's a term. That's a real term. A wild ass and a domestic donkey are different. A domestic donkey is very docile. A wild ass is wild. I'm telling you. You can't hardly tame them. Their genetics are all messed up. They're inbred. They're wild. He said he will live to the east of his brothers. And she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, the living, all-seeing God. The all-providing God. The same term in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, Genesis 17:1. These are all terms. She knew who he was, the living one. Jesus said unto those Pharisees, he said, who are you? And he said, I am that I am. Exodus 3:14. Now that's what he told about Moses. What were they going to do to Jesus when he told them that he was the eternal, ever-living, all-existing one? What did they want to do to him? Kill him for blasphemy because he had told them he was God. He was God. He wasn't lying. He was the everlasting one, the living one. You are the God who sees. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh in Exodus the 22nd chapter, when Jehovah appeared to Abraham, he saw him. Not only did he see him, but he provided the lamb. Who was the lamb? Who did that lamb represent? Jesus. All right? And he said, I even remained alive after seeing him. See, here we have it. She saw Jehovah. And she has remained alive. And he was the living one. And then 17 and verse 1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am El Shaddai. What does El Shaddai mean? It's translated the all-powerful one, but what it means is the all-nourishing one. He was going to nourish her. Now, God created all of these spirit beings and all of these angels. And he created them to share in his glory and to worship. And what in the world was Lucifer's job? Evidently, Lucifer was an archangel. Who else are archangels in the Bible? Inferred. Michael and Gabriel. Archangels. Now, Michael is not Jehovah, by the way. Old Harold Camping has Michael as Jehovah, and Gabriel as Jehovah, and even Lucifer as the opposer of Jehovah. He has all the angels of Jehovah. He's all mixed up. Huh? Yeah, well, no. I'm talking about Harold Camping, the one family radio, the one May the 21st is when the end of the world is, according to Camping. Okay, that guy. All right? He needed somebody to teach him. That man is a multimillionaire, and he has spread his gospel all over the world. Wouldn't it have been nice if somebody had taught him the Word of God and he could have preached the Word of God in truth? All right, let's go on now. In Ezekiel 28, it talks about the leader of Tyre, but also about, as a dual type, we're talking about Tyre, the leader of Tyre, and we're talking about Lucifer. Because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am a God, or I am powerful like God. Now, the word God in Hebrew, in Greek, is demon. Demon means little God. All right? In the Jehovah Witness translation, they translate John 1 and 1 as Jesus was a God. He wasn't a God. The word there, it's a predicate nominative. He was the God. The God. There's no indefinite article A in Greek anyway. He was the God. In beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because he kept on being God. That's what it literally says. Then John 1:14, and the Jehovah flesh he became. All right? I said in the seat of gods, in the heart of the seas, yet you are a man and not God. Now he's talking there about Tyre. And he said, although you make your heart like the heart of God, behold, are you wiser than Daniel? There's no secret that is a match for you. Ezekiel 28 and verse 4, your wisdom and understanding, you have acquired riches for yourself, and you acquired gold and silver for your treasuries, and your great wisdom, by your trade you have increased your riches. Now what did Satan go out to do? He went out to convince other angels and spirits to follow him, didn't he? And at least he took 33 1/3%, 1/3 of all the angelic and spiritual forces with him. So he convinced somebody. All right? He said, your heart was lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, because you have made your heart like the heart of God, therefore I will, behold, I will bring strangers upon you, most ruthless nations. And of course, that's talking about Tyre. And they will draw all their swords to get you. And then we get down here to verse number 11. And this here is speaking about Lucifer only. And again, the word, the bar, the edict of Jehovah came to me saying, Son of man, take up your lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus saith Jehovah Elohim, you have the seal of perfection. Now I guarantee you that the king of Tyre didn't have the seal of perfection on him. Who had the seal of perfection? Who was perfect when he was created? Lucifer. That's right. And every man in all reality is perfect in judgment when they are created. God didn't reprobate you from the beginning. You had the seal of perfection. You were full of wisdom, full of beauty, and you were in Eden, the garden of God. Do you think that the king of Tyre was ever in Eden? Who was in Eden? Satan. And who else?
Adam
and Eve. The king of Tyre wasn't there, so who's talking about here? Talking about Lucifer. You were in Eden, the garden of God, and who was he impersonating there? Who was he? Who did he captivate?
Eve.
Well, the first, before he did Eve. What animal loaned his body to him?
Nahash.
All right? Every precious stone was your covering. He was beauty. The ruble, the ruby, and the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and jasper, the lepus, and lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, and the workmanship of your, look at that word, settings there. What should that be translated as, really? Anybody have something over there? Connie, does your Bible have anything in there over to the side?
Tamarind.
Okay, tamarind. What's a tamarind? It's a percussion instrument. Like a what? A cymbal and a drum, because tambourines have cymbals on them, and they're like a drum. So it's like a cymbal and a drum. So musical ability was Satan's. He probably let out in worship. All right? And he used drums and cymbals. He had percussion instruments. And what else? And sockets. The word sockets there means flutes. Horned instruments. Brother John, you play a horn, don't you? Mm-hmm. Trombone?
French horn.
Okay, French horn. You play a French horn. All right. That's a musical instrument, isn't it? That meant that, and by the way, when mankind went astray, the sons of Ham were real good at what ability?
Innovation.
What?
Innovation.
Well, they were innovators, yes. But what else? Musicians. Music can really glorify God, or it can zap you. And, you know, some of the young people are absolutely captivated in horrible music. Demonic. Some of the musical bands, they give themselves to Satan. They worship him. Music can lead you away from God, and it can lead you to God. He probably had the most beautiful voice in the universe. He was the leader of the orchestra. And praise to God. All of this was in you. And on the day that you were created and you were prepared, you were the anointed one. You were the messianic cherub. The anointed one. When you get anointed, what happens? You are picked out. You're chosen. Lucifer was an archangel. He was an anointed one. Let's look in the New Testament for a moment. Go to the New Testament. Just think about the New Testament for a while. Think about the New Testament. There was a guy in the New Testament that really was anointed, but he was reprobate. Think about him for a while. His name was Judas. Name was Judas. Judas Iscariot. Iscariot. What does that mean?
That was where he's from.
Judas, man from Cariot. Judas had a beautiful name, Cariot. That's a city. Man from Cariot. I think it's not very far from Hebron. If I remember right, could be wrong, but I think it's near Hebron. Man from Cariot, Judas. Judas is that's a bad King James word. Bad translation. What should it be? Judah. Judah. Judah means what? The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Who was the Lion of the Tribe of Judah? Jesus. Just think about this now. Lucifer, one time, was a leader of the orchestra of God in the praise. He was a leader of all the angels in worship to Jehovah. But he became jealous. And he became greedy. Greed. What is the... says money is the root of all evil. Is that right? No, that's not right. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. The greed. The greed. Greed is the root of all evil. Think about Lucifer. Lucifer had a very high anointed position, didn't he? Did he not? Am I lying to you? He was a leader of the orchestra of God. He was anointed. He was the anointed. He was the anointed cherub. Beautiful. The greatest singer. The greatest song leader. All of that. Beautiful. And yet what happened? Who covers? The anointed cherub who covers. Who is he over? Who did he guard? What did Lucifer guard? The material creation of God and the earth especially. And think about mankind now. God chose through man that he would redeem the whole universe. That he would become related to man and he would redeem all the universe and mankind back to him. He chose mankind to bring it. Mankind was a replacement. And mankind is anointed. He's anointed. He's chosen by God. Anointed means picked out. Matter of fact, the word church means what? One's picked out or one's called out. Isn't that beautiful? Anointed. We live in the church age, in the anointed age. In the age which God anointed the church, which we are so privileged to be part of. The anointed cherub who covers. And I placed you there. You were in the holy government of God. God's government. God's plan. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire right into the throne of God. You were blameless in all your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness, until pride was found in you. What a story. Look at Judas now. Let's go back to the New Testament. Judas was a church member, wasn't he? He was a false church member. He was like a thorn, like a rotten apple in the barrel. He followed. I think he went along just for the ride. He was baptized by John the Baptist. He made a somewhat profession of faith, but I think it was a false profession. I think he just went along with the crowd. And not only that, but there was a lot of disciples. How many? The word oklos and okloi. Remember, you Greek students, what does oklos mean? Oh, come on now, somebody knows. Where's that? David's gone. Oklos means 5,000 people. Okloi means that from 10 to 15,000 plus people. And there was okloi and oklos following Jesus. There was there were probably at least 5,000 to 15,000 church members, as many people following Jesus are here at Valley Baptist Church today. Think about that for a while. And out of all of those people, he chose 12. He took them up on a mountain and he chose them and he anointed them. And the first gift placed in the church was what? Apostello is a Greek word, apostle. Apostle means one sent out with authority. So he anointed Judah. Good name. Praise God. That's what his name meant. Brett. Don't you get me off on some white side track.
So only if you're anointed by God, you're an apostle. Otherwise, we're disciples. They call them disciples, but we're disciples. They're apostles, right?
The apostles were the first gift placed in the church. We don't have any more apostles today than the Catholic Church does. The apostle of the Catholic Church is what? The Holy Papa. The See. The Holy See. The Pope. Okay? Well, we don't have one. We don't have a Pope. All right? Because there aren't any Popes. There are no apostles left. Okay. The Mormons have apostles. That's right. But there aren't any apostles left in the church. When those apostles died, that was the end of it. But those apostles were anointed of God, picked out. Now let's look and think about Judah. Okay. You know that one of Jesus' brothers was named Judah. He wrote the book of Jude, or Judah. Okay. Think about Judas now. Judas heard every sermon that Jesus preached nearly, didn't he? Not only that, but he was a caretaker. He was an administrator in the kingdom of the king. What was his job?
Financier.
He was a financier. He was a banker. He was a treasurer in the church. Whew. The love of money is the root of all evil. Where did he was tempted, wasn't he?
Tempted, terribly tempted.
What did he do with the money back? It says that he kept on stealing money out of it. He kept on stealing from the church. Kept on stealing from the church. There are many scriptures. Just look in the Concordance and look up Judas. I mean, the Bible's full of them. Now, when he took him up there on this mountain, he gave a gift. He made a tremendous gift to Judas. He gave him the power over demons, spirits. And Judas went out and he healed people with his power. Did he not? And then in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, we run on to a guy that's a witch. A witch. And he sees the apostles. He sees the apostles healing people and giving them the gift of, or the power of God. They're laying on hands of these people and they are anointed. Anointed. Same word now, just like Lucifer was anointed, these people are anointed with the Holy Spirit. And he wanted that. And what did the apostles tell him? You son of Satan, you damned one, you reprobate. You reprobate one. And he didn't ask him to be saved. He said, I repent of my denying God. He said, what? Pray for me. That's all he said, pray for me. He wasn't going to pray for himself. He wasn't going to ask God to forgive me. He said, pray for me. Boy, reprobate. Damned. Beyond hope and beyond repentance. Luke 10:17. Someone go there, Luke 10:17. Beyond repentance. Acts 8:14-24. That's where that old boy was. Judas, Matthew 26:14. Matthew 10:1-4. Mark 3:11-19. Luke 6:12-16. These are all about Judas. Matthew 27:4. Luke 22:21. All scriptures. Brother John, are you there? Could you read that for me?
Luke 10:17. Uh-huh. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.
God. That was Judas. One of them. Judas was one of them. He was anointed. He had power. But he didn't have forgiveness of sin. He went along for the ride. Isn't that scary? I don't know, scare the boots off of you today. Something like that. Are angels real? Moloch. Are spirits real? Have you ever been convicted by Spirit God of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come? Have you? You thank God for it. If you're convicted today, you thank God for it. You do. You thank God for it. If you're God's child and you go the wrong way and God knocks the way out of you, good. Thank God for it. Because He's dealing with you. These people, this old boy over there in Acts the 8th chapter, God didn't deal with him. He's reprobate. He's cut off. He went too far. You know why a lot of people don't get saved out of false religion? Because they went too far. If you get saved out of a false religion, jump up and down and shout with glory. Because you're not reprobate. You didn't go too far. A man wrote a book one time called God's Plan with Man. And for three or four chapters in that book, he talked about reprobates. People that were reprobated. People that were born of Satan. Born of Satan. You know, people are born of God, aren't they? How many of you are born of God? You've been born of God? You have asked the Lord God to save your soul and come into your heart and repent of your sins and ask Him to save you and to guide you and lead you to be the King of your life? That's salvation now. But there are some people that have rejected God and rejected God or believed a lie. And when they believe a lie, they're what? Paul said, damned. Reprobated. That's scary.
Would that, okay, the people that followed Jason Koresh, the ones that didn't burn just recently on the television, they stand still speaking that they look to David Koresh as an offense. They would be reprobated.
That's right, they're reprobated.
So far that
they are down.
Even with everything that's happened, yep.
They still believe. They are still damned. So when you, if they come to the light, if any of them left, and they come to know the Lord, they ought to be jumping up and down. How many people in the world have been damned, reprobated? Now, God calls every man to salvation, but there's times. Go to Acts, the 7th chapter. Acts chapter 7. Or 8, that is. Acts 8, verse 14. Beyond repentance. Oh, I can't find it in my Bible. I know it's there. Acts 8, and verse 14. I had it one time. 8 and verse 13. Or 14, let's go on there. 14. Dr. John, are you there?
Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit.
Okay, go on a little further.
For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of Lord Jesus.
Okay, that's, they're baptized with John's baptism. And they, there was people in different places. Okay, that in John's baptism, they were. Bill. All right, they had John's baptism, but they weren't there on the day of Pentecost. They did not have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, simply baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and they began laying hands on them. Actually, it says they kept on laying hands upon them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. And now Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on the apostles' hands, and he offered them money. He wanted this gift. He wanted this power. He wanted this anointing. Saying, give this authority to me as well, so that everyone whom I lay on hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part, no portion in this matter, for your heart is not right with God. Therefore, repent of this weakness of yours and pray that the Lord, if possible, the intention of the heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in bondage of sin. You are sold out. You're reprobated, fella. You're a reprobate. Pray for me so that nothing that you have spoken of may happen to me. He wanted them to pray for him. He wanted something else. But he wasn't ready to repent, was he? Beyond hope, reprobate. And Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot saw Jesus nearly every day. And what? And was a traitor. He kept on looking for some way to make a little extra money. Not only did he have the bag and kept on pilfering the church funds, But he wanted more money. He wanted more money. More money. So he went to the chief priests. You know what the chief does? The archpriest, the head priest. He went to the head priest and he asked him. They kept trying to get Jesus. You know, they couldn't arrest him. They couldn't lay hands on him because he just kept walking away. There's Jehovah in the flesh, people. You're not going to mess with him unless he wants you to. This is a God in flesh. They had anointed him and he had rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the chief priest and the Pharisees came to him and they were saying, "Hallelujah to the highest." They were praising him. And he says, "Stop your disciples, these people, from saying that. They're blaspheming. They're blaspheming because they're saying that you are God, that you are Jehovah. Tell them to quit." And what did Jesus tell them? Come on now, guys, what did Jesus tell these guys?
"I am that I am."
Well, that, he told them that one time and they wanted to kill him some more. What did he say? What did he say? He said, if these people shut up, if they stop their mouths, the very stones would cry out. The stones would cry out. The earth itself would cry out. And the Bible says the earth groans for the redemption. And God chose through mankind to redeem the whole universe and everyone here. Today, has God chose to redeem you? Absolutely, every one of you. God provided salvation for all of you. But are you saved? Have you asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins? Does God still convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come when you're even the child of God? Brett, you like that? You like it? It's nice to be convicted of God when you do wrong, isn't it? Because that's God's dealing with you. He hadn't reprobated you. Simon, he reprobated. Judas, he reprobated. Lucifer is reprobate. All the angels that follow him are reprobate. All the spirits that follow him, all the demon spirits, little gods, supernatural beings, but they're reprobate. Remember when Jesus was walking, got out of the boat and walked up there by the Gadarene area, and he walked into a graveyard? And what happened in the graveyard? Remember? What happened? What happened in the graveyard? A guy came out of there. Wilder than a donkey.
Out of the tomb?
Yeah, out of the tomb. They had tried to capture him. They put brass manacles and handcuffs on him and tried to chain him. And he broke the chains because he was powerful, because there were many demons in him. And how many demons were in him? At least 2,000 in that one man. He was powerful. How do these great rock stars get all powerful? How did Jim Jones, how did he talk all those people into following him? And this other guy, David, what was his name? How do they do this? Demonic power. Demonic influence. How does false religion, hold people there? Demon powers. Once you've been born of Satan, people, you're done for. You're done. You're cut off. Boy, when somebody comes out of that, it's a gift of God, for one thing. It's a gift. It's grace. You're saved by grace. This poor little old Hagar today, the little wanderer that had no choice over her life or anything else, God chose her and saved her little old soul. And she said the all-existing, the ever-living, eternal God that sees all things. Because he saw me and heard my cry. Let's go on and look in Ezekiel, the 28th chapter now. You were blameless and glorious on the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence. And you went astray. You sinned. You went astray. you sinned. You chose sin. You chose rebellion. What is old Satan called? The one who opposes? The killer? The murderer? How many people's souls has he murdered? How many angels has he damned? How many spirits were damned by him? For all eternity now, not for a little while, for all eternity. By the bonds of your trade, you are intentionally and internally filled with violence. And you sinned for yourself. And therefore I have cast you as what? Reprobate. Profane. Beyond hope. Beyond repentance. From the mountain of God, your government. Judas was part of the physical kingdom of God on earth. He was one of the administrators in the kingdom of God, but lost. And he sold Jesus out. Not only did he sell himself out to sin and greed, as far as I don't think that he was a whoremonger. It doesn't say the Bible that he chased women or anything like that. He probably had a kosher diet. He probably didn't eat bugs or snails or any unkosher animal. He wouldn't even eat a lobster. He wouldn't eat a clam. As far as we know, he didn't do any unclean. He didn't have any unclean habits. He was just greedy. He loved riches. And the last depression, I said the last depression. Remember, I said that on purpose. In the last depression, people killed themselves. In New York City, when the stock market crashed, people jumped out of the windows and splattered on the ground below. They couldn't stand to be paupers. They couldn't stand it. They loved their money more than they loved life. I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, anointed cherub. Judas was anointed. Every time the Holy Spirit of God convicts a sinner, they're anointed with His Spirit. You know what the word grace is? What does that mean? What does grace mean? Huh? Grace.
Covering?
Grace means anointed. That's what it means. Grace. Anointed. Anointed with, it means your gift with mercy. For by grace are you saved, it says. For in grace you are having been saved through faith, and that faith didn't come out of you. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But when you get saved, you start working, don't you? You start wanting to do the right thing. Because God convicts you to do it. Right? A child of God that can go out and run around and run like the world, something wrong with them. If they can run like the world with no conviction, no stumbling blocks, they're another Judas. Another Judas. That's all. They just went through the motion. Another Judas. And Judas was what? Reprobate.
Judas evidently never believed.
He didn't believe. He never really repented. Even though he was a moral character except for being a thief, his sin was thievery. His sin was greed. Brett.
Let's see, I thought that Judas, he was thinking about it, he might be the greatest witness of all time to Jesus, because you were putting him on a stand of like a jury, and you brought someone in who didn't like Jesus, who betrayed him, who could actually account.
You know, when you're, if you commit a crime, if it's an intentional crime, that's first degree murder. You know when it's murder. If you you don't intentionally kill somebody, it's what you call manslaughter. Okay. But Judas was guilty of first degree. He planned Jesus' death. He planned on betraying. He went there and told them, I can get him for you. And then when he went there and he went out into the Garden of Gethsemane, and guess what Jesus was doing all night in the Garden of Gethsemane? Praying for strength as a man, because he was God-man now. He was strength as a man, and he knew what was going to happen to him. How many times do you think Jesus saw people crucified? Do you think he knew what it was going to feel like when he was on that cross of Calvary? Do you think he knew what it felt like? It says, the Bible says that he was crucified from eternity past. He felt the nails. You know? And in space and time, he became flesh to suffer that death. He died it for you. He died that death for you. Judases are going to be in a hot place in hell, people. He smothered and squelched the conviction of sin in his life until it didn't happen anymore. And then it says, there at last, when he went and he got the price of a slave, 30 pieces of silver he got for betraying Jesus. And how did he betray him? In the original language, it's extremely descriptive. He said, when I show him to you, I will kiss him. And while I'm kissing him, you arrest him right there. They had tried to arrest him before, remember? But he went up there and he grabbed a hold of Jesus and he was kissing him and kissing him and kissing in the imperfect tense. He kept on doing it so they could get a hold of him. He was kissing him. Probably on the mouth, by the way. He kissed him and he kissed him and he kissed him. That's the way he did. That's what it says. He's kissing him. He held on to him. He kept on holding on him and kissing him. And saying, Rabbi, Doctor. And they got him. And then, remember Peter cut off one of the servants' ear. And what did Jesus do about the ear that was cut off? He put it back on and healed him right there on the spot. Boy, I tell you what, when he did that, what do you think Judas felt like one more time? Boy. And then it says later on that he repented himself. Didn't come from God. He repented himself and he went out and did what? He went into the Holy of Holies. You walk into the Holy of Holies, you know who was supposed to walk into the Holy of Holies only once a year? The high priest could only go in there. Jesus never went in there, by the way. He was in the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament and in the Temple of Solomon, but he never walked into Herod's temple in the Holy of Holies. If he had walked into the Holy of Holies there, they would have tried to kill him for blasphemy, for malpractice, so to speak. But Judas walked into the holy place and threw the money into the Holy of Holies. That's what it says in the Scriptures, Brother Ray. That's right.
That thing was some unworld.
Yeah. But because the spirit Shekinah glory wasn't there. The whole religion of the Jews was reprobate. Shekinah glory was never in Herod's temple. They had a Holy of Holies in there, but the Shekinah wasn't there. Jesus was the Shekinah glory of God, wasn't he? He was the Shekinah. He was the very presence of God. The presence of God was never in the Holy of Holies in Herod's temple. But Judas walked into there. The law was still there. The Jews' laws were still there. He walked into there. He pulled that curtain back and threw the money into it. They wouldn't take the money back. They said, go do whatever. And then what did they do with the money? When they're super religious ways, oh, we can't take this. This is blood money. We can't take this and put it in the treasury. It would profane the treasury. Even those profane, those reprobate priests had killed their king and Messiah. And they were religious enough to where they wouldn't put the money because it was blood money. They had paid him to kill Jesus, basically. And they had murdered him themselves. And Judas went out and hung himself. He committed suicide. He couldn't stand himself anymore. But I tell you what, it wasn't the Spirit of God convicting him. It was his own miserable self. And it says, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. The multitude of your iniquities and the righteousness of your trade. You profaned your sanctuary. He had a place of leader in search. You profaned it. You profaned the very place of God. Therefore I brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth, and all the eyes shall see you. And that's what's going to happen one of these days, right down here. Are you going to be with Him today? Are you going to be with the Lord? You're going to be one or two places. You're either going to be in eternal hell, or you're going to be in eternal heaven in the glory of God. And by the way, you just got anointed today with God's Word. Any of you out there in the world that are listening to God's Word today on the internet, you just got an anointing from God. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to throw it away? Are you going to be reprobates and go to hell in spite of God? God paid the price. The only way you're going to go to hell is if you reject God. You reject Him and you'll go to hell and you will be reprobate forever. As long as you're living in this world, you have conviction of the Spirit of God, you better be saved. Thank you for your attention. God's Word, Brother Bill.
Jim, you know how I feel about Jesus. It just tears my heart out listening to the story about what He threw the money and repented like.
That's a good example for everybody today that has done the same thing.
Is there any other scriptures besides the Bible that has anything to say about Judas Iscariot? Any of the other scrolls?
He was reprobate. He is the only New Testament disciple that was prophesied and spoken about in the Old Testament. Judas was the only one. In the house of my friends, he that I broke bread with lifted up his heel against me. Judas was a heel. Judas was a reprobate. He chose that for himself. God, he saw God walking in flesh. But he went the other way. Not only did he see God walking in flesh, he betrayed Him. Today, you can betray the Spirit of God by walking off from it. Just like Judas. If you are not saved today, if you're lost out there, probably people out in the world, you know, listening to this message, there's a lot of them out there. But if they walk off from the Lord, they are reprobated too, just like Judas.
And they can become an apostate too.
Then they become reprobate. Stand away from the truth. Apostate means stand away from the truth. That's what Judas did. That's what Lucifer did. Reprobate. Beyond repentance. There is no repentance. Once those angels and spirits chose to go their own way, it's over with. That's it. It's over with. I want to pray with you today before we hand it over to our prayer leader. Our Heavenly Father, I pray if there's one out there listening to your word today that they'll repent of their sins and ask you to forgive them and be anointed with your Spirit to guide in their lives. There's one here in the class today. I pray that you convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. I pray that they'll follow you in their lives and want to be a shining example for you in this world today. We're either examples of one thing, either bad witnesses or good witnesses for you.